and oft times door to door, literally knocking on doors to get help to the remaining people protected from the...
Oh, shut up.
Are you kidding me? The lunatic left has gone so far off the rails that they finally managed to alienate their own base. Even the shock rockers of the 1980s have had enough of the fanatical push to cancel America. But it's not just America. The EU votes in a new law to criminalize Christianity. The Bishop of Dijon, France, accuses the Fraternity of St. Peter of violating the principles of the French Revolution. And Pope Francis gets set to cancel traditional Catholics. Catholic or not, you've got to wonder why the globalists are absolutely obsessed with banning the traditional Latin Mass. What are they so afraid of? Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Matt coming to you once again from the offices of the Remnant newspaper. So, the great G.K. Chesterton once said that the modern world is full of old Christian virtues gone mad. If that was true then, how much more true is it today? Can you imagine what Gilbert Keith would think of what's going on right now?
Did he have problems in his life? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Did anyone see this stuff coming? And I guess if you think that Chesterton was wrong, all you're doing is proving the point. Chances are you too have completely lost your mind. If anything going on right now seems in any way sane to you. And in this world gone mad, everything now is topsy-turvy. Even the most ridiculous shock rockers in history, certainly in the 1980s, are out there right now. I can't even believe this. When I saw this, I was just like, oh, man. Kiss, out there on stage during a concert, you know, raising money for the Wounded Warriors Project, you know, very patriotic, how important it is. They say patriotism is cool. They say that, what's that idiot that's out there been protesting in the NFL forever, Colin Kaepernick, whatever his name is, that he's not cool at all, so says Kiss. And then the shock rockers of the 1980s led their entire stadium in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. God bless you!
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Even 30 years later, these guys still scare me. But whatever. My point is, the whole world is completely upside down now.
Hi everybody, I'm Tess Mullins at Remnant TV. As YouTube continues to crack down on us, we need your help, and it's so easy. Click the link below to get on Michael Matt's eBlast list so we can tell you when we post a new video. Also, donate at the link below to help us build up our alternative to big tech, remnant-tv.com. And if nothing else, get one of these t-shirts and help us spread the word. Remnant TV is a team effort, and we can't do it without you.
By the way, now, the Roman Forum, which we announced last program, Dr. John Rouse, Gardone in exile over on Long Island, that took place last week. It was a huge success. All those talks, including my own talk, are available at remnant-tv.com. They're not available on YouTube, so if you want to check out that conference, it was 8-9 days worth of outstanding talks. Go to remnant-tv.com. Give you something to listen to while you're waiting for Joe Biden's SS troops to grill you about your children's vaccination status. You heard about this?
Oh, yes.
Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oft times door to door, literally knocking on doors, to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus.
Oh, shut up.
And the access to get vaccinated.
Oh, shut up.
It's just absolutely nuts. Now, one theory is that they actually want people getting ticked off at the front doors of their homes. This is going to be very invasive. So one theory is that they want, you know, these stupid, God-bothering Biden volunteers to get beat up a little bit out in front of people's, you know, front doors so that then they can crack down even harder on the non-vaxxed folks, you know, kind of looking for another January 6th thing or whatever it is. It's just, it's incredible that people are putting up. And I guess for the most part, there's a lot of pushback against this right now. This was crazy. But whatever it is, I see the thing a little differently as far as the push for global vaccination. You know, because in the future, in the future of stupid, the great reset future, normal, non-vaccinated, the unwashed rubes, I don't think they're going to be allowed to live happily ever after alongside the vaccinated, washed, enlightened masses. I don't see that happening. The non-vax would be breathing, walking, eating, thinking, functioning, talking proof that the vaccination wasn't necessary in the first place. They just go about their lives as normal, non-vax. So that's got to be part of it. But also, in this globalist utopian future, we're all going to be under the same level of control. And I think they're using the vaccination thing to make that happen, to force that issue. By globalist fiat, every citizen of the world will be told where to live now. We see that coming because of climate change and everything else. So they'll tell you where to live, tell you what to eat. No more cows. We've gone over that. No more hamburgers. No more steaks. They're going to tell you how to get around. Electric, self-driven cars. And, of course, yes, absolutely, duh, what were we thinking? What vaccines we will be required to have if we want to buy and sell. It gets kind of biblical, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. If you want to buy and sell, you're going to have that mark of the beast, whatever it is. If you want to travel, if you want to work, if you want to go to the university, you're going to be needing to have your vaccine shot. Yeah, so whomever controls the vaccines, in other words, controls the whole world, right? Makes a lot of sense to me. I think that's what they're doing.
It's a brilliant plan.
It is. If millions of us, on the other hand, are not vaccinated 6 months, a year from now, millions of us will not be also will not be under the control of Big Brother. And then the game is over. And then this whole pandemic was a waste of time. The experiment failed. They got to get everybody vaccinated. And it has nothing to do with your health, of course. We gave up on that a long time ago. This is politics. This is control. And years ago, I like to bring up, you know, what they did to the Catholic Church. It's been my contention all along. And I bring it up not just to talk about the history of my church, but so you can see that we have some really real-life experience with how this works, how revolutions work, because the Catholic Church was torn in half by a massive revolution 50, 75 years ago. So they did the same thing in my church. You see, they needed to leverage, some kind of leverage, in order to systematically dismantle the largest Christian community, the Catholic Church, in the world. They had to get that out of the way. And in the church, it was kind of a spiritual extortion, you know, like now you got to take the vaccines in order to function. Back then, it was a little different, but it was a spiritual extortion. And guess what? It was done in the name of equity for all, you know, all men on earth to be happy together, the same. And they're still at this crap. Right now, this Pope is in the hospital. Pope Francis is in the hospital. God knows why, by the way. A lot of weird stuff going on there. All we know is his colon evidently malfunctioned, no doubt. So they had to remove half of the papal colon, you know, whatever else they have to do. They're not telling us, I don't know. But the point is, he's old and he's sickly, and yet there he is, absolutely obsessed with crushing the old Catholic normal. You don't have to be a Catholic to go, wow, yeah, that's true. With everything going wrong, why is he worried about people going to little old Latin liturgies somewhere in the world? Why is he worried about that? He's an old man. He's sick. Yet he is. He's fixated on it. He's going to rein in Summorum Pontificum. That's the thing for people who are not Catholic. That was a thing from Pope Benedict, the document from Pope Benedict that allowed that old mass to come back after 50 years of them trying to destroy it, saying it was illegal, it was banned, it was outlawed, it could never return again. Little Pope Benedict XVI brought it back. He did that under something called Summorum Pontificum. And now Francis is going after that. Why? Because like a crucifix to a vampire, the old Catholic liturgy terrifies these guys. It terrifies and threatens this diabolical new order in the world. So obviously you can't have the traditional Latin Mass that goes all the way back to the apostles free today, free, like again, St. Augustine's lion out there defending itself and picking up millions of recruits all over the world. It not only threatens them spiritually, it threatens them politically.
because it united Catholics from every country in the world for a couple of thousand years. And it united Catholics like no government in the world ever could. It was the church that united Christendom for a thousand years. It wasn't Spain, England, France, Germany. It was the Catholic Church that united them all. And the center of that, the touchstone of that, was this traditional Latin liturgy. You see why they're going after it? It's very political. Because that liturgy can do the same thing all over again if it's unchained and unleashed. Because it orients people, not to the world, not to Pachamama, but it orients them to God. And that's deadly for this diabolical, secularist, humanist New World Order. And this mass is starting to do it. This movement, traditional Catholic movement, is doing it again. Over the past 15 months, it was the traditionalists who were out there saying, "Mask, are you teasing me? No, thank you." It was the traditionalists who refused to be intimidated and bullied by Gates and the other lunatics of Davos. It was the traditionalists who were the first one. Check out the Remnant Archive. We were blasting Tony Fauci. I used to do an impression of him. "Oh, you gotta get the mask. One mask, do you remember?" This was, what, about a year ago. We were blasting this fool. A long time ago, traditional. We weren't the only ones. Traditional Catholics were seeing through this from the start, this COVID nonsense. From the start. We were sounding the alarm, refusing to shut down and obey Big Brother. You think they didn't notice that? Francis was supposed to squelch all that. He was supposed to make sure we were silenced. We were irrelevant over COVID. Traditionalism, the movement, came of age. And now it's war. This is why he's coming after us. He's coming after that which united the resistance. That's this liturgy thing that also had the power to launch crusades and change history in the past. So yeah, he makes sense. He needs to come after it. Think about this. Again, if you're not Catholic, the absurdity of it. Wars breaking out all over the place, violence, race wars, mayhem in the streets, people getting gunned down in Chicago, abortion rampant, violations of God's law, the laws of God, the laws of man, rampant. And the spiritual leader of the whole world is worried about suppressing the old Latin mass where people are still not shooting people and aborting kids, you know, where they're just going to mass on Sunday trying to worship God. Why is he worried about those people? They're not threatening anybody, they're not burning any cities down, doing anything wrong. He's worried about them because the mass that unites them is rigid. Because it safeguards and defends a code. Because it safeguards and defends doctrine and dogma. Because you don't get to do whatever you want. You got to follow some rules if you adhere to that liturgy. It's the touchstone, in fact, of the rigid faithful who care more about worshiping God and defending the unborn than they do about climate change. Thank you very much. In fact, they don't give a rip. And that kind of Catholicism, friends, needs to be banned if the New World Order is ever going to work out. This is what's going on. This is what we're watching. And the attitude is, if you like your Catholic religion, fine, you can keep your Catholic religion, your Christian religion, whatever it is, so long as you reject any claim of religious supremacy or supremacism, and reject any claim that you somehow have or know objective truth. There is no such thing as truth. Your truth and my truth are not going to be the same, and your truth is no better than my truth. The truth is whatever I say it is. This is not the teaching of Christianity. The teaching of Christianity is there is objective truth, and you better follow it if you want to save yourself. This doesn't fit in with what's going on right now. The Catholic Church doesn't fit. The old traditional Catholic Church, the non-reformed Catholic Church, doesn't fit in because it teaches that the one holy, universal, and apostolic church founded by Jesus Christ is what? Necessary for salvation. It's the ultimate in rigidity. You got to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ or you're not going to be saved. Everyone is welcome. It's not exclusive. In fact, it's the most inclusive institution in the world. It's the most non-racist institution in history. But you need to be a part of it. That's the teaching. And guess what? That's the furthest thing in the world from equity. That is not equitable at all. That's not inclusive. Not even sort of. That's not inclusive of the Wiccans and the Zoroastrians and God knows what else is out there claiming to be a religion. You see, what we need, according to Francis, according to the Vatican, going back a long time, all the way back to Vatican II, what we need is a little CRT. A little critical religion theory, you see, to tear down the old Catholic religious supremacism Which is why the new know-nothings now are out there insisting every day from the Pope on down that all religions lead basically, you know, they're all good, they all lead to the happy place. Remember Abu Dhabi? Now, the whole point of this kind of ecumenical hogwash is to erase even the memory of the supremacism of the past, the Catholic supremacism. We erase the history of the Church, the Catholic Church, whose countries, whose popes, whose emperors, whose kings for 1,000 years built Western civilization. The war on Western civilization, the war on history, the war on Columbus, tearing down the Columbus statues and all of that, you know what that is, right? That's a war on the Catholic Church. The Christian privilege, the Catholic privilege now is over. Catholicism, yeah, it'll be tolerated, only to the extent that it nixes all of its non-inclusive dogma and moral teachings. It must be tolerant of every vice and every sin. And never, ever again will we repeat the sin of our fathers, the main sin of our fathers, being rigid. That's it. All we need is love.
Right in the feels.
Right in the feels. Everybody's saved, even atheists. We have a merciful Pope who builds, well, not walls, but bridges. He's all about equity. He's all about inclusiveness. So you got guys like the Bishop of Dijon, France, right now. He's out there following his boss's orders. He's been all over the news lately. He's following Francis's orders by suppressing the Fraternity of St. Peter. Again, for those of you who are not Catholics, this is an order of traditional Catholic priests who offer only the traditional Latin Mass by approval of the Pope. So the Bishop of Dijon is going after the Fraternity of St. Peter for not promoting equity. You see, because they have spiritual vaccine hesitancy, the Fraternity of St. Peter. They set themselves apart by adhering to an exclusive traditional old liturgy. It's very dangerous. They're part of the old normal, which, of course, we can never go back to. So this clown, this guy, sorry, this Archbishop Roland Munerath, he accuses them of something called communalism, which is withdrawing from the republican norms of the French government, the French state, by identifying too strongly with a community of origin.
We take you as you are. And we are ready to help you becoming a member of our community. If this is your wish, this requires from you a big effort of adaptation and willingness to cooperate in your new life context.
The Bishop of Dijon is going after the Fraternity of St. Peter for rejecting the republican secularism of 1789. And flexible Catholics, why, they would never in a million years violate liberty, equality, and fraternity. No, sir, they're all on board. You see? It's the French Revolution in the church now. The revolution which beheaded the Catholic kings, the Catholic queens of France, which set up a new calendar even because the old one was based on the birth of Jesus Christ. The revolution couldn't have that. So for a time, they had their own calendar. And then they went around guillotining hundreds of thousands, perhaps a million Catholics in the Vendée, thousands of rigid Catholic priests and nuns up in Paris. It looked like this. Now, what was their crime? Well, the same crime as the Fraternity of St. Peter in Dijon, France right now is guilty of. Communalism! religious fanaticism. Those nuns, they were accused by their judge of having a, quote, attachment to the childish beliefs and to their silly religious practices of the past, end quote. And it's starting all over again right now in Dijon. They're running out these guys who are traditional Catholics. They're not diddling kids. They're not chasing the kids around. They're not doing anything weird. You know, they're just Catholic priests who want to say the traditional Latin Mass. What's the problem? Well, we just explained what the problem is. It's going back to the old Catholicism that they thought they had eradicated from the face of the earth. The Bishop of Dijon is accusing 300 of his own flock of choosing, quote, cultural isolation over Republican unity. Stuff makes you want to throw up. In other words, attachment to the childish beliefs and silly religious practices of the past, just like the Carmelites were accused of. You see? And then the bishop justifies this by citing, you guessed it, Pope Francis. Pope Francis is new, soon to be coming out, motu proprio, restricting the Latin Mass. They're all working on this together now. And once again, the revolution has no answer to fidelity to Christ, to loyalty to Christ, to love for Christ, for adherence to tradition. No answer, apart from persecution. Persecution, the last refuge of tyrants who have failed in their effort to crush Christianity. Here it comes again. Their new normal church is on life support. That doesn't matter. It's full of menopausal grandmothers and homosexuals. That doesn't matter. What they're worried about is the fact that the traditional Catholic churches and chapels are full of large families, huge families, and armies of young priests. Who's got a future in that scenario? Well, who do you think? The future of the Catholic Church, if it's to survive in France, is the traditional Catholic movement. And see, they don't want it to survive. They got it on life support for a reason. They want it there. They just got to get out of the way and get ready for the new secularist regime. You know, so yeah, it's another reign of terror, apparently, that they've got in mind. Because the revolution now is going mad. And they're getting aggressive. And that aggression is going to cost millions of recruits in the camps of the Children of Light. Right now, the European Parliamentary Forum for Sexual and Reproductive Rights is preparing to criminalize what they call the religious extremists who oppose abortion and contraception in Europe. That's you. If you're opposed to abortion and contraception, the EU is coming after you. You get it? They're coming after you. It's not just us. They're coming after anybody who still believes, who still observes the Christian moral code. And they have this thing, this investigative report, which they call the tip of the iceberg, religious extremist funders against human rights for sexuality and reproductive health in Europe, okay? This document, friends, gives it all away. It denounces the new aristocrats, I guess we could say. And that's not just us. It denounces them all, from the EU Commission of the Bishops' Conferences to the Communion and Liberation. It's incredible. These are left-wing Catholic revolutionary organizations being consumed by the revolution. They denounce the Communion and Liberation Movement. They denounce the Knights of Columbus. They denounce the Legionnaires of Christ. Even, shockingly, Opus Dei. You're all lined up to follow the Carmelites up to the guillotine. You good with that? You think you can placate this revolution? You think you can buy your way into their goodwill and they're going to take care of you while they chop my head off? I may be the first one to go, but they're going to get to you eventually too, you neo-Catholic fools who are going along with this. Revolution consuming itself again. And guess what? Bankrolled. This thing is bankrolled by the usual suspects. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the IPPF, the George Soros Open Society Foundations. It's going to amount to a universal blacklisting of Christian organizations in Europe. Did you hear what I said? It'll be basically illegal to be Christian in Europe, at least to be practicing Christianity. Well played, Vatican II, once again. Great job. Fantastic, Pope Francis. I hope you can do something to save the polar bears, because their plight is serious. And they're already, EU is already going after Hungary.
If Hungary doesn't set things right, the Commission will use the powers invested in it as the guardian of the treaties. Let's be clear. We will use these powers whichever member state impedes European law.
Friends, what else What else can we say here, you know, to convince those who are still, in any sense, wondering what's going on here, wondering why? So we said at the top of the show, the whole world is upside down, because you know what? They're trying to turn the cross upside down. What we're dealing with here are Satanists. We're dealing with outright evil. We're dealing with an outright declared war now on God, on His church, on the Ten Commandments, on the entire Christian moral order. You think this is just about traditional Catholics, No. This is a war to get the church out of the way so that they can eradicate the Christian moral order from the face of the earth. That's what they're doing. Guess what? The traditional Catholic counter-revolution is standing right smack dab in their way right now. Yeah, it's right in their way. Traditional Catholicism. You know what? Traditional Catholicism is not the point of the spear. Traditional Catholicism is the spear. It's the only thing standing between the world and total anarchy at the moment. Why? Because we've been here for decades beating this drum, trying to get this message out. Not just me, my father, my grandfather, that generations now, a couple generations of traditionalists trying to get this message out. We know what this is all about. My father was going after the state. Get this. It's interesting. See how far back it goes. He went after state busing, school busing in Catholic schools 70 years ago. Why? Because he knew it was the camel's nose under the tent, and they were going to come in, and they were going to make demands, and they were going to change the curriculum, and they were going to destroy and blow up the Catholic school system. Guess what happened? Exactly that. My father went after the cultural revolution of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Everybody made fun of him. What's the matter with you? You're going after rock and roll? Are you nuts? No, he was Catholic. And he knew that that revolution was also an assault on the moral order based on the kingship of Christ. So yeah, of course he went after Vatican II, because that's when they came into the church and started tearing everything apart inside the church. And he knew that was an attack on the kingship of Jesus Christ, on the church of Jesus Christ. And then a few years later, when the neocon crazy people, under people like George Bush, the conservative pro-lifer, you know, they started enforcing democracy at the point of a nuclear warhead all over the world. The remnant, we lost thousands of subscribers for not going along with what we consider to be a militarized version of the heresy of Americanism. See how far back this goes? Nothing happening right now is new. That's why we went after COVID. Same exact reason. People thought it was real for a while. We never did. This was the great coup that they had in mind for a long time, especially after they realized Trump was going to win again. They needed to find something to beat him with. They used that. COVID, we were after it from the beginning, because from Davos to D.C. and from Assisi to Abu Dhabi, all of it, friends, it's all part of the same globalist war on Christ the King. You can't believe me on this, because if you can believe this, if you can come to accept this, if you can pray about it and read about it, you're going to have such keen insight on how to fight them. If you leave the war on Christ the King out of this, like our good friends over at Fox News do every night, they're never going to do anything else but be chronicling the train wreck, be chronicling the plane crash, just writing down what's happening, but not doing anything to stop it, because they can't unless they bring back the King, as well-intentioned as they are, many of them. And now the Church of Vatican II, friends, again, is on its deathbed, because it too ignored Christ. It didn't even mention Christ the King. It's the Second Vatican. Not one mention of Christ the King. It's on his deathbed. Just as hundreds of thousands, I don't know who's going to pay for this, but hundreds of thousands of Catholics were literally put on their deathbeds during COVID by this ridiculous Church of Accompaniment, the Reformed Church of Pope Francis. Hundreds of thousands of people died without their priests, without their last rites, without even their families. How much more do you need to be convinced? Abandoning little old men and women in nursing homes, terrified, crying their eyes out every night, everybody masked up around them, no priests for 10 months. Who's going to pay for that? There's your Novus Ordo in a nutshell, literally on a death watch, outside of locked churches and locked nursing homes, pleading for mercy and allowances and tolerance from the gurus of globalism. That's what they were doing in the new and improved Church of Accompaniment. What were the traditionalists doing at the same time? You probably didn't hear a lot about this because it was buried. France, France used to be the eldest daughter of the church. They have the heart and soul of France right now. The hope of France is the traditional Catholic movement. I know these guys personally. And during the height of COVID, what do you think they did? The traditionalists got together and they sued the state and they won. They sued the state for the right to open up their churches and they won. That's what France was doing. Here in the States, it was the traditional Catholics who did what? They took to the parking lots. We've gone over and over this. They never missed Mass, not once. They refused to be cut away from their sacraments, even once, even momentarily. The traditionalists. They sued the governors of New Jersey and California.
Earlier this year, officials in New Jersey threatened a priest with jail if he held Mass in his church. That priest was Kevin Robinson. He's a Catholic priest at the St. Anthony of Padua Church. Robinson responded by filing a lawsuit against the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy. Father Robinson joins us tonight with an update on where things stand.
Father Robinson, Father Burfitt, my buddy Chris Ferrara, the legal team from Thomas More. Look what they did. They went to war during COVID. And now, of course, the chapels, the churches that have the traditional Latin Mass are bursting at the seams with so many new recruits that the Pope needs to crack down on the Latin Mass if he's going to save face with his globalist pals. He's supposed to be taking us all out. Instead, we're getting stronger. We're embarrassing Francis. That's why he's taking out some more in Pontificum. He's embarrassed. He can't control us, and he never will. And guess what, Francis? We will not abandon the faith of our fathers. And I don't care how hard you try, you will lose. We will never abandon the Mass of our fathers. Never. We're your worst papal nightmare, Holy Father. If this makes us rigid communalists, so be it. Who cares? You're going to need to feed us to the lions again. And again, so what? Because nobody wants to live in this nightmare world that you have in mind for us, you and your globalist friends. Nobody wants to live in it. We would rather die than live in it. I would rather die 1,000 deaths. I'd rather die tomorrow fighting for the order of Christ the King than live 1,000 years in the godless New World Order that Pope Francis wants to build. I will gladly die fighting that. Because I have a feeling, friends, we're all going to die, right? Long live death, right? It's part of the human condition. You're not getting out of here alive. I'll be dead in 20 years, maybe 30 if I'm lucky. We all got to die. And you know what? All the saints in history, I believe, would envy us right now for having this chance to stand with Christ the King when the entire world is standing against him. They would envy us. I got a feeling this is why we're here. This is why we were born. And the only thing left for us to do at this point, don't worry about what's coming. Just go to war. God will take care of the rest. The prayer should not be, spare us from this terrible and awful responsibility. The prayer should be for every one of us, every day. Lord God, make us worthy of this honor to fight for you. That's the prayer we should pray every day. I'm Michael Matt for Remnant TV. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next week.